You have your major players, the big guys. Then you've got your personal favorites, your hometown heroes, and we've got these guys. Connor, Mackie, and Bernie are the rookies. Three sports fans left unsupervised in the studios of Fox Sports Radio Charlotte, bringing you a whole, literally new sports talk show. The Rookies starts now.
Welcome to another edition of The Rookies here on Fox Sports Radio Charlotte. Try to be as smooth as Mackie was last week. It's not happening. What a beautiful Saturday here in Charlotte. It's January 25th, 2020, Connor.
I can't believe January's almost over. This has been a quick month. I'm laughing because the music started playing and Bernie just swings around in his chair like that evil boss in a movie that's always like, I've been waiting for you.
It was a little bit seductive.
Yes, and he turned around and just stared at us for like 3 seconds each. Then he said, welcome in with the rookies.
Can't help it, boys.
That was perfect, Bernie. Thank you.
Welcome into the rookies. Guys, we've got a great show for you today. A lot going on in the sports world, but we're going to start with, how are you guys? What did you guys do yesterday?
I'm tired, man. I worked good old dishwashing shift at Longhorn Steakhouse in Salisbury from 4:15. Did not get home until 1 a.m. last night.
You can't fake steak.
You can't fake steak. You can't fake clean dishes either.
You can't fake happiness, and you don't look too happy this morning.
I am not, because I drove my coworker home, and he's like, you did good tonight, Maggie. I hope you have a great day tomorrow. I was like, I have to be up in 6 hours and drive down to Charlotte. So
don't talk to me.
That's what I'm saying. I was like, I'm just going to go home, throw on Shameless, and cry myself to sleep.
And that's the norm for Mackie.
Yeah. I was going to say, that sounds like an average night.
Connor, what about you? What'd you do last night?
Last night, I went to Coyote Joe's. I saw Chris Lane last night at Coyote Joe's.
Oh.
That was a pretty good show.
Did you
guys like country music?
Did you get your fix?
My fix?
He's got a famous song called Fix.
I didn't know that.
Well, wow. You went to a show last night. I guess I should have gone to a show last night.
I went to meet up with my lady, realistically, and yeah.
Awesome.
I don't really know a ton of his music.
And speaking of last night, you would appreciate this. You haven't watched Harry Potter yet.
I have not watched Harry Potter.
I'm not pretending I'm a big Harry Potter fan. What did we start a month ago? But they needed mugs. They said, hey, Mackie, can you run mugs through? And I was like, yeah, I'll wash the mugs. And so I go up, and there are like three servers that are really into Harry Potter. And I was like, I have these non-wizards that you've asked for, because in Harry Potter, non-wizards are called muggles. And they were mugs.
Oh, my
God. And nobody laughed. And I don't think anybody talked to me for the last 3 hours.
What a dad joke.
Oh, it was horrible.
I don't think we're going to talk to you the rest of the show either.
That's awful.
I thought it was a good joke.
Hey, you guys need some muggles back here?
No, they all said, please quit right now on the spot.
Oh, my gosh. Well, last night I watched Undercover Boss and cried like a baby, because what they do is they just go on here and they change people's lives.
I also feel like that's a norm for Bernie.
Absolutely.
We're very emotional.
Very emotional.
Here.
Very emotional.
Wear your hearts on your sleeves,
but
will you?
It was amazing. This woman was working at this gentleman's sporting goods store, and she's living in a homeless shelter. And at the end of the show, I mean, this guy's bawling when he's talking to her undercover. At the end of the show, he gives her $250,000 to buy a house.
It's nice.
I mean, you just love to see stuff like that.
And I enjoy Undercover Boss a lot. I think it's very exciting. I think it's a cool show. I mean, they have one with the Cubs where the like chairman of the Cubs goes in at Wrigley.
Some of the disguises, I have to admit, come on, man. Like, that doesn't even look like real hair.
I know, like, actually try. But I always just find it funny, to where I'm glad that the CEOs and these bosses do change the lives of their workers who are a little less fortunate. But I said this before the show, I find it a little amusing how always, like, the first two people that the CEO goes to are always people struggling. Mm-hmm. And then you go to, like, a horrible manager. But then the two people that are struggling, like, they always just get into the most deep conversation you will ever hear the first time they meet. So it's like, this is your first day. We have known each other for 27 minutes. We're going to go on break, and I want you to tell me your whole life story.
Tell me about your life.
And that's really what it is. Like, I mean, I mean, I've been working at Longhorn for 6 months, and I still don't know half the people's names there. Everything's just, hey, man.
You'd be a terrible CEO.
I would be a terrible CEO.
But just really cool to see stuff like that.
Yeah,
on Undercover Boss.
I like it a lot.
Yeah. So we got a lot to talk about today. We're going to start with the Hornets. They played in Paris yesterday. On an 8-game losing streak, It's not looking great for the Hornets right now, but I think this is kind of what some fans, we need a good draft pick. Let's just be honest here. I'm not trying to tank. I want to be competitive for the rest of the year, but if these Hornets start winning games and barely miss the playoffs and leave us in the 12th spot in the draft, I'm going to freak out.
Well, here's the thing, though. The Hornets usually, like, if anything, this is the time of the year to where the Hornets are usually on the up and up. This is when they're usually winning. And then once All-Star break, which is, I think the game is the All-Star game is February 16th, once that time hits, and especially through March, I know the last March in recent memory where I know the Hornets were pretty, not dominant, but they were successful, was the year that they went to the playoffs. But other than that, it has just been a straight demise in the month of March the last few seasons. I feel like the Hornets were a place or two outside that eighth spot for the playoffs the last few seasons. And then all of a sudden, boom, they're down in the 11th, 12th spot. Now, last time I checked a few days ago, I know they were in the 12th spot. I don't know what they are now after the Pairs game. But yeah, 15-31, they got off to a decent start, but they are going through a rough patch right now. And I mean, it was a good game. I was following it while at work, and it, like, all the score, every score update and every notification I got from the Hornets app was that the Hornets were leading, and then all of a sudden I got the final score that they lost like 116-103. I got very sad.
Well, you see a trend every time you watch the Hornets, boys. They always are leading in the first half.
Yeah.
The Hornets, almost every game I've watched this season, the Hornets lead to half, and their demise is in the second half of the ball game. They cannot finish a lead. They cannot finish what they started, and it's been like that all season. I saw it last season, too. They need to learn to finish. I mean, they were up the first three quarters, actually, they led, and then they let Milwaukee score 38 points
in the fourth quarter.
And usually that's the score that the Hornets give up in the third.
This year it's been the third quarter has been the demise.
There have been a couple games we covered. I know I covered the Timberwolves game way back. It was one of the first games of the season, and I think they gave up 41 points in the third quarter.
Well, against the Pacers, too, recently.
Yeah, they were back, and like I forgot who they played before and or after the Timberwolves game, but I know they gave up at that Timberwolves game. It was back-to-back games.
Maybe the Bulls?
Yes, it was back-to-back
games. When
Zach
Levine had 49 points?
Yes, it was that back-to-back games where both their opponents had 40 points or 40-plus points.
We were up big in that game and ended up losing. I was with Connor at the Carolina Hurricanes game, and I'm looking at the computer screen. I'm like, oh, man, we got this in the bag. 20 seconds left, up by 6. And then I literally look up to see the hockey game and then look back down, and we're losing.
Yeah, the win probability went to Chicago. It was like 27 all the way up to 100 in the span of like 6 seconds. It was horrible.
Well, Malik Monk had a great game yesterday, 31 points.
I believe that's a career high for
him. It is a career high. So I beg the question, do we just ride out these bad contracts that we have at this point? Or do we package Malik Monk and try? I mean, I feel like at this point, let's just keep Malik Monk and see what we got. Nick Batum's got one more year player option next year. Mm-hmm. We got Cody Zeller still.
You know he's going to keep his player option.
Oh, absolutely. He's not making $24 million anywhere else.
Nope.
Marvin is likely going to retire after this year. And MKG, we've got a couple really bad contracts, so you think we should just ride it out, let it go?
I kind of just accepted the contract situation with the Charlotte Hornets.
It's hard
but
to
with
accept.
Malik Monk, I feel like because I doubt the Hornets are going to trade Devontae.
Oh, no.
And I doubt they're going to do anything with PJ. So, I mean, when you really look at it, Malik Monk is like that Jeremy Lamb of last season, to where he's proven that he can go off in games. He's proven he can be a nice sidekick. Malik Monk, a little wishy-washy, a little more wishy-washy than Jeremy Lamb, I think. But Malik Monk, I mean, he has come out and he's had big games for us before. The Hornets, there was that one game, forgot the opponent, to where I think...
it's always the Pistons.
Yeah, it might have been the Pistons, to where Malik Monk scored those 20 points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
I forgot. Sacramento Kings game.
Yeah.
Yes, it was Sacramento Kings game before Christmas, I believe, or right after Christmas. And Malik Monk, he shows a lot of promise, but this is his third year in the league, correct?
I believe so, yes.
Third year in the league.
They did pick up his player option for next year, I think.
And I believe the Hornets picked him up ninth pick. I mean, like, he's been a decent pick for the Hornets.
I think
Hornets.
It was 11, something
he's
like that.
He's been
Donovan
a decent
Mitchell
pick
right
for
after.
The Hornets, but I think right now, like, he's still showing that, one, he can be an asset to your team, but he can also be an asset in the trade game. So, I mean, if the Hornets are going to explore any options to move players around to try to bring players in, Malik Monk should definitely be in that package.
Yeah, before I thought Malik Monk would just be a nice sweetener to take on a bad contract, but now I feel like if you trade Malik, you should get something back substantial in return.
Or like at least like some a decent pick or like a young promising player.
Well, add Malik to a playoff team. Mm-hmm. And that's a pretty solid piece.
Yeah.
But on a team that's, you know, floundering like the Hornets are right now at 15-31, it's tough.
And Connor did mention about how the Hornets are struggling to keep a lead, finish a lead, all that stuff. I do think that comes in to play when the Hornets, where in Charlotte, you don't really have that cold-blooded shooter, that cold-blooded player who can take the game into his hands. Devontae was like that earlier on in the season, but I mean, Devontae's still doing pretty well, but I mean, he's not having those Devontae numbers.
He's like, cooled down
like, a little bit. Yeah, like we saw. And I mean, that's expected, but even though that he has cooled down, I'm still expecting Devontae to have a great career and a great rest of the season for the Charlotte Hornets. But I just don't think, other than Devontae, Terry Rozier has shown some promise. He's hit a few late threes, but ever since Kemba left, the Hornets no longer have that one guy to where, hey, game is getting closer. We need somebody to take over, or else this is going to end bad for our team. Give you the ball. And right now, the Hornets have, it seems like the Hornets have a different one every game. One day it might be PJ, one day it might be Zeller, one day it might be Malik, Rozier, Devontae, which that's a good thing and a bad thing.
Right. So 15 and 31 right now. What are your thoughts on basically a midway point in the season? How do you feel that the Hornets have done? Expectations were that they may win 15 games the whole season.
Halfway through, I mean, before the season started, before the first tip-off of the season, I said that they'd win 25 games. So
yeah,
they're more than halfway there. They could win 30 games this year.
Mm-hmm. I can see it.
And I think I picked 31. I didn't think the Hornets wins would go down as much as people would think. I mean, the Hornets did lose Kemba Walker and Jeremy Lamb, which are their two primary scorers last season. But, I mean, the East also lost a lot of All-Stars as well. And I thought that the Hornets would be battling for the playoff spot, at least through the All-Star break. And it has been like that. I mean, it's fallen down with this 8-game losing streak. It's getting a little more tough for the Charlotte Hornets. But halfway through, I mean, if anything, I do like the youth movement going on there in Buzz City. I think the Hornets are very fun to watch. I think they have a lot of players that are promising. Not saying they're going to be superstars in the league. Who knows? They may be. But they also can be somebody to where you can trade them with some kind of package to where give them another year or two. Like, they have a lot of younger guys that can show that they can have a future in this league if they get into the right system, find their right style of play. And I don't know, like, no, even though the win-loss record is 15 and 31, I believe we're 12th or 13th in the East. This is still a fun team to watch. I'm having fun watching Charlotte basketball this season.
Yeah, and still, I mean, 15 games already, almost halfway through the season. I'm excited about it. 27 games, I think, is what I picked them to win at the beginning of the season.
Yeah,
we do play the Knicks next. Hopefully that's a win and we get off this 8-game skid.
Yeah, the Knicks is definitely a team that the Hornets need to have right now. But the Knicks have also shown flashes of just coming out and just battling hard with teams that you wouldn't think the Knicks would be close with. And right now, the Charlotte Hornets, I mean, kind of like the Carolina Panthers. I don't know if it's a North Carolina sports thing or a Charlotte sports thing. But
always.
It seems like whether this is intentional or not, it seems like they play down the competition some. And nothing is ever easy with the Hornets. The games are always exciting when they play bad Eastern Conference teams. But, I mean, any game that you go in, no matter the win-loss record of the other team, I never expect the Hornets to just walk all over them. Or I never expect it to be an easy game. And I feel like the New York Knicks is a team like that, to where the Hornets can – are they coming here or going to Madison Square Garden, do you know?
It is here.
It is here? Okay, yep. So that'll be good. So that's good right there.
Yeah.
The Knicks are another team, too, to where like they're not very good right now. But I think they're only one draft pick and a superstar away. And the thing with the Knicks is they always have Madison Square Garden, no matter what. They always have New York City. So no matter how bad the Knicks are, look at KD and Kyrie going to Brooklyn, which I still think is crazy. Like, I remember Stephen A. Smith saying in one of those HBO or ESPN Plus series with Kevin Durant, Stephen A. said he was getting texts that KD was going to New York, and he's like, there's no way he's not going to the Knicks. And then he picks Brooklyn over New York, to where New York and Madison Square Garden is like a staple in the NBA, staple in the world. And so that's why every time I think about the Knicks.
He's only a quick train stop away.
Yeah, it's a quick train stop away. But every time I think about the Knicks, you're in the biggest market for basketball. Well, right now it's L.A.
But it's just James Dolan. If they could get a new owner in there, I feel like the Knicks would be golden. James Dolan is holding them back. He's almost like Jerry Jones.
I just don't understand how you can't get players to come to your franchise in New York. I just can't understand that.
The number one market.
It's the number one.
Like, so
it's like, it may not be the number one in terms of players. Right now, L.A. definitely has the two superstars with Kawhi and LeBron. But in terms of just like the market of the NBA, like, New York is crazy. And the fact that Kyrie and KD picked Brooklyn over the Knicks, I don't know. I just find that funny.
It's just one more thing on the list of things that Knicks fans have. It's just been really terrible for Knicks fans lately. Missing out on Zion this past year in the draft. They got R.J. Barrett, but still, I'm sure they really wanted Zion. Which brings me to our next topic, Zion Williamson. Has played 2 games in the NBA so far. What are y'all's thoughts on Zion? I think he's played pretty well.
Well, I mean, so Wednesday night I got off work, and the TV above the bar at work was playing the Pelicans-Spurs game, and I was watching it, and I saw Zion in. And in my head I was like, oh, this is Zion's return. I forgot about that. So I pulled out my phone, and I looked at the box score, and it said that Zion has played, I believe, like 9 minutes and had 2 points. And this is like beginning of third quarter, midway through third quarter. And I'm like, oh, man, I wish he could have done better. So I go take my coworker home. I get home. When I get home, the game is ended. And I get on Twitter, and I see that Zion has scored 17 consecutive points for his team in like 3 minutes. He went 4 for 4 from the three-point line. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh. And I also heard that nonstop, all the broadcasters and everybody was talking about was Zion's weight.
I can't stand it.
I can't. Yes.
It drives me nuts.
He is the third heaviest player in the NBA. But he also just had the best rookie debut in New Orleans Pelicans history. Give this man a full – he literally just played one NBA game. Give this man a full NBA offseason. That's – I never understand why people want somebody to change as soon as they get into the league.
Well, if you saw the block last night, I don't know if you saw it, Connor. This right I don't really care if he's 350 pounds. If he can get up that high, be as fat as you want.
He's not even fat. He's not even fat. That's what I'm about to say.
I think he looks good.
Have you seen his arms are the size of me.
And Mackey's a big guy.
And I'm fat.
Man, I wouldn't say fat, but he's Mackey's a large human being.
I jiggle. Zion doesn't jiggle.
He's not fat. He's just huge.
He's huge.
Like,
but
the kid is not human.
Yeah, that's what. And it's just like, yeah, 285, third heaviest player in the NBA, but this man is still getting up above a whole other player to just block his shot at the rim. It's crazy.
He's a career 100% from the three-point line.
Actually, he missed one last night.
Hey, still better than Ben Simmons, though. Still better than Ben Simmons. But this is Fox Sports Radio, Charlotte. We are the Rookies. We'll be right back after this. Don't go anywhere.
Continue our Zion Williamson talk for a couple of minutes, and we'll go right on over to Antonio Brown. That guy is a nutcase, if you were wondering. Boys, welcome back.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Welcome Fox back. Sports Radio Charlotte. Connor, did you scream out the letters?
No.
94.7 FM, 1660 AM. No. Nope. And then 103.7 on the HD3 dial.
Slacking.
Come on, Connor.
Slacking.
That's a rookie mistake.
I did it on purpose. I didn't think it was necessary.
Okay, well.
We milk that cow every 15 minutes.
We do. We're supposed to.
Can I tell you a story real quick?
Yeah,
y'all know that I spend my time as the cow for Chick-fil-A.
Speaking of cows,
on the side of the road and everything. It turns out y'all ever had just like a memory pop into your head and you're just like, where did that come from? But you completely know it's 100% true and
it's
honest.
It's called deja vu.
Yes. So before my mom remodeled upstairs of my childhood home, the whole kitchen was like cow themed, and there are still remnants of it today. The hot plate that you put something they pull out of the oven so it doesn't ruin the counter. I don't know. You put that on there. It's a shape of a cow. We have like 4 or 5 refrigerator magnets that are a cow. We have so many dish towels that have cows on it. And I'm like, holy crap, woman. You drove me to this job of dancing in the cow suit for Chick-fil-A working with Chick-fil-A for the past 3 years while I was in high school. Gosh, it's traumatic.
It's like PTSD.
That's what I'm saying. It's traumatic. I was like, was I guided to this lifestyle?
Does your mother like cows?
I mean, at this point, she needs to, or else we need to talk.
We have a problem.
With the amount of cow stuff we have in our home.
We need to see somebody.
If she doesn't love cows, then we need to have a talk.
My stepmom has the same thing, but with roosters.
Roosters.
At one point, we counted at least 20 roosters in the kitchen.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
I mean, look, if it's, you got to make everything match.
I don't know. Give me some elephants and monkeys. I'll put them all over the place. I love elephants and monkeys. So if I ever see a monkey riding an elephant, oh, it's over. That's adorable.
Then we're gonna We're going to have to get that picture framed for you, Mac.
Yes. If you ever see a monkey riding an elephant, whether it's a chimpanzee.
It's probably out there.
It's
probably out there. So we were talking Zion. I think he had pretty great debuts. Last night wasn't as great. He only played 20 minutes, 15 points.
I will say this, though. He was plus 16, as Connor pointed out
before the show.
And that was the best plus minus on the floor for either Denver or New Orleans last night.
Well, before we move on, I wanted to ask one question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think there's any chance at all that if Zion Williamson plays well for the rest of the year that he could catch Ja Morant for Rookie of the Year? Is there any chance at all?
Any chance? Yes, there is a chance. I do think so.
Zion have to average for the rest of the year in order for that to happen?
He's got to bring this team to the playoffs.
I would agree.
That's what I was saying. Right now, they sit fifth in their division, not even in the Western Conference. They sit fifth in the Southwest. But, yeah, I think right now, he's missed pretty much half the season. Ja Morant, I think, is having a great season with Memphis. I enjoy watching Ja Morant play. Ja Morant is a very fun player to watch if you haven't already for Memphis.
He was actually here for the Memphis game when he hit the game winner.
Yes.
Kick and play.
And right now, Memphis sits third in the Southwest standings at 21-24, 7.5 games behind Dallas. New Orleans is 12 games behind Dallas at 17-29. I think Zion, he's going to have to play well. I think at least average 17.
New Orleans is – so they're four games back of Memphis, who's sitting eighth, and then Oklahoma is 6 games ahead of Memphis. So I think if Zion can help bring New Orleans to the playoffs, then now we're talking.
Imagine if he brought New Orleans to the playoffs and pushed Memphis out.
Ooh,
would that come into your mind for Rookie of the Year voting?
That's what it would play to.
I do feel like that Ja Morant doesn't have as good of a supporting cast as Zion does down there in New Orleans.
Yeah, the Pelicans
are. They got Brandon Ingram. They got Lonzo Ball.
Yeah, the Pelicans are a few players away.
Drew Holiday.
Yeah, they're very young. They have some veteran leadership right there with Drew Holiday. And think about it. Like right now, I'm not expecting New Orleans to make the playoffs. I mean, it's just a lot of stuff. But a lot of stuff happened in the season, mainly with Zion not getting there until halfway through the season. But like next season, I'm expecting New Orleans to be a completely different team. The whole Southwest division of the NBA, I think, is interesting because you have Ja Morant. And you have Ja Morant in Memphis. You have Zion, Lonzo, Brandon Ingram. And Brandon Ingram starting to establish himself as a great player in the NBA in New Orleans. And then you also have Luka Doncic in Dallas. And then you have Houston and San Antonio who have some stars on it, but not these young stars. Now, I mean, you have probably some of the three best up-and-coming players in the NBA right now, or three possibly best up-and-coming players. I mean, I think Ja Morant's going to be a star, all-star point guard for the rest of his career. Luka Doncic, I think, is going to be one of the biggest superstars the NBA has ever seen. And Zion, of course, I mean, everybody knows that name right now. And 2 games in, I mean, he's showing that, yes, the NBA is a place to where he belongs in. Give him another season. Give him more experience this season. Zion's going to be putting up numbers. I just think after that first game, people were rushing to conclusions.
So we think that there's a chance Zion could catch Ja Morant. You said 17 points a game he's got to average.
Like,
I think it's
something
be
like that. Like with me, I always think if you want to be in the consideration for a star player on a team or a player that can carry somebody or help a team succeed, I think that's 17 point mark. If you want to be a star on your team, you got to have at least 17.
Well, as many games as he's missed, for me, I feel like he's got to average at least 25 the rest of the way.
Dang.
And that's a tough road. Ja Morant's playing so well.
Yeah.
I just don't see Ja Morant falling off.
He's electrifying to watch.
He really is.
And we were just talking about people saying how heavy Zion is and stuff. I mean, think about it. Like, people are saying if Zion loses some weight, he'll be better. And maybe that's the case, but think about Ja Morant. I mean, he's doing all this, and he's one of the smallest players on the court. Imagine if he gets bigger. I mean, it's going to be insane watching Ja Morant play with I think he's going to be like another Russell Westbrook in terms of just the athleticism and being able to just go from 0 to 100 real quick and just go at the rim and elevate above any player that's in the paint and just throw it down on the heads of any NBA player that stands in front of him.
Boys, I'm looking now, and the Hornets average 103.3 points per game, and that is the worst in the Eastern Conference. What I'm a little confused about, though, is the Washington Wizards are 15-29. They average the second most points per game with 114.9. So they average almost 115 points per game, and they still have just shy of 30 losses this year.
Mm. It just goes to show you.
So they must be giving up the most.
You're terrible at one thing, and you're not going to be a good team.
Yes.
That's essentially
how it goes. You got to have defense in the NBA.
Another thing that came out was the All-Star rosters. We'll just go over the starters real quick. Obviously, Giannis and LeBron were named the captains. For the Eastern Conference, though, Trae Young was named a starter. Kemba Walker, of course. Good for Kemba. Let's give a little round of applause for Kemba. Hate that he's gone, but congrats to Kemba. Pascal Siakam
ended up making it. Going to make the All-Star game.
Is if Kemba's making it. Well, I think that you could see Devontae Graham potentially make it as a reserve. There's a chance.
And speaking of Graham and Siakam, I mean, they're both kind of in the running for most improved player.
He's just been awesome. Siakam has really been a great player.
He's kind of put the franchise on his back a little bit. I think he's doing what some people expected Lowry to do a couple of years ago.
Kyle Lowry is just – he's an enigma to me. Some nights he's balling out. I mean, almost a triple-double, and then there's other nights you just don't even see him on the court.
At best, though, he can be a game manager. That's what you need.
And rounding out the East was Joel Embiid for the 76ers. Go over to the Western Conference, though, and they're pretty stacked starting lineup. James Harden, Luka Doncic, you got Kawhi Leonard, LeBron James, obviously, and then Anthony Davis. I mean, Western Conference is stacked.
LeBron's got more All-Star appearances than the whole Eastern Conference.
That's combined?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's funny. That's funny. How old was Trae Young when LeBron got drafted? LeBron got drafted in 2003.
He might have still been in diapers.
That's what I'm saying. He was very young. I like it. I like it a lot. James Harden, great player. He really is.
Great scorer,
but I just can't watch that style of basketball. I can't do it.
I can't either.
It's miserable.
I can't.
It is absolutely miserable.
I wonder how Rockets fans feel about it. I mean, if you're winning, I don't think they care.
If you're winning, but it's just, I mean, you've seen it he can't get out of the third round in the playoffs. He can't do it. And one of the things that annoys me most was I remember 2016. I don't know why. I watched so much sports 2016. That was our sophomore year of college, and we just sat in the dorm room watching it. A lot of good things happened that year. That was a 28-3 comeback. The Cubs winning the World Series. And then we were watching this NBA playoffs, and I forgot what round it was, but it was OKC versus Houston. My roommate and I are big Russell Westbrook fans. And this was when Mike D'Antoni and the Rockets kept on fouling Andre Roberson.
Yeah.
Because he could not make a free throw and pretty much lost in the series. But just watching James Harden in that playoffs, I mean, and even Mike D'Antoni said it. He's like, this is their style of play. You live or die by the three. And I'm just, that doesn't work. It hasn't really worked for you in the playoffs at all. And at this point, I'm trying to think with the Rockets, what do we do about them? Because they're just doing the same exact thing every year. They have one of the most prolific offenses. Sorry, Bernie.
But no, you're good.
It annoys you. They have one of the most prolific offenses. They put up points, and then they just crap the bed in the playoffs. I mean, think about the Kansas City Chiefs, except it was just sometimes Patrick Mahomes was more toxic to the team's success than he is.
I would compare him to Golden State, except their players, their stars are not – they're more selfish in Houston. They have to be on the ball. When you watch Golden State games with Steph, Clay, even when Durant was there, they were always moving off ball, a constant movement. And when you see, it's just isolation in Houston. That's all it is isolation basketball, whereas they were more selfless there in Golden State. But I feel like they're trying to do the same thing, live and die by the three. Golden State won two titles living and dying by the three. I mean, you can do it. You just have to have unselfish players, and I don't think Houston has that on their roster right now. Westbrook and Harden want to win, no doubt, but they have to have the ball in their hands to be effective, and that's the problem for me. When they traded for Westbrook, they were better off with Chris Paul because Chris Paul could at least facilitate and take a back seat. You got two alpha dogs now in Houston, and it's tough.
I think Westbrook has been doing pretty well. I mean, his last six games, he's averaging like 27 or something like that.
They've not been bad. I don't think it's better than Chris Paul.
It's stagnant sometimes. You'll just roll up, and James Harden will just sit with the ball for 20 seconds, and then he'll take a screen and just throw up a three.
He'll rock you to sleep.
Yes, it's annoying.
I don't know how you guys are going to sit here and mention the NBA All-Stars, and it's not even NBA All-Star Weekend, but it's NHL All-Star Weekend. You guys are going to breeze right over that one.
Well, it's NHL All-Star Weekend.
Yeah, well,
just mentioned it.
Is that you mentioning it, or is that you breezing right over?
Just breezing right over it.
All right. Well, you boys want to know? You guys want to know the difference between the NHL and the NBA?
Sure.
The NHL wants to watch their women succeed.
What are you trying to say about the WNBA?
The NBA doesn't want the WNBA to succeed.
I disagree with that completely because they come out all the time and support those ladies. Always, they go to games. No, I'm not. I haven't gone to a WNBA game. I went when they had the Sting, though. I was once a supporter of the WNBA, so don't come at me.
I'm not coming at you. I'm coming at the league.
You know what the NHL did this year?
I didn't even know there was a women's hockey league. They do a great job of advertising it.
Women participated in NHL All-Star Weekend.
See, that is awesome.
For the third year in a row.
That is kind of crazy to think about, Connor, because NBA is usually the most progressive sport.
Last year, it was Kendall Coyne Schofield participated in the NHL's fastest skater. And
how'd she do?
She plays. She's very quick. I mean, she's a gold medalist. Not a big deal, right?
Not a big deal.
And then last night, they picked 20 of America's best women and 20 of Canada's best women, and they played 3-on-3 like the men are gonna do tonight. The women not only are playing in that 3-on-3, but they participated in all the other skill competition categories as well.
Cool. It'd be cool if they did that for the NBA. Have some WNBA All-Stars. Well, the seasons don't really match up either. Mm-hmm. I always feel like it's a random time in the year, and the WNBA's got their championship
WNHL
series on. I'm like, what?
The WNHL isn't going on, or the NWHL isn't going on right now.
I did not even know that there was an NWHL. I had no idea.
This is exactly what I mean,
Call
boys.
Me a misogynist. Don't do that. Actually, don't do that.
Don't say that's what I mean when, I mean, you never told us about the Women's National Hockey League. I don't see anything on Twitter. I don't see any.
Great job advertising it,
Connor. You boys have never told me about the WNBA.
Because
it's a pretty known thing.
But did you know about
thing.
The WNBA before
yes,
this whole situation?
Connor, you've known about the, this is not the same thing. Not even close.
What do you mean? It's not, how did I know that you didn't know there was a women's hockey
I've
league?
Never seen any sport outlet post about the women's national hockey
I've seen
league.
women's
this,
Olympic
and,
hockey.
And
I've
yes.
seen
this is the issue, is that they're not getting enough coverage,
well,
and that's why the NHL
use your platform,
is
Connor.
Helping them.
Use your platform.
I'm using my platform.
Good. Look at Connor using his platform for good.
Who do you think I am, Colin Kaepernick?
Okay, okay. Right, careful relax. Now. Careful now.
Y'all heard about the WNBA like pay raises and everything, right?
I did not.
No, the WNBA through a collective bargaining agreement agreed to raise the pay 53%. A player who made a max, the most they could make was $113,000. But now with this new collective bargaining deal, the most they can make is like over $500,000.
So it's a lot better.
And there's some deals for maternity leave in there.
Oh yeah.
So
last night, B Notes was talking about that, and he called it paternity leave, and I didn't have the heart to tell him.
Well, that's for fathers.
I know it is paternity leave. But he was talking about the NBA, or WNBA, and I was like, no, it's maternity leave. You're a man. You would get paternity
leave. It's paternity leave, but they're both things.
Didn't have the heart though.
Moving on to the bigger story before we go to break here in
Let
a few minutes.
Let Twitter roast them.
AB Antonio Brown literally can't stay out of the news for more than a week. Personally, for me, I feel like at this point it's just sad.
Yeah, it's been this way for weeks.
There is obviously something going on with Antonio Brown beyond his antics.
He's an idiot.
I genuinely believe it has something to do with CTE. I mean, this man has been getting hits over the middle. Connor, you're a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. You've seen him getting hit from perfect. That hit.
That hit changed it.
I really think so.
And I'm not trying to cover up what he's doing.
No,
I mean,
no,
what he's
absolutely
doing
not.
Is stupid.
Right.
But what I'm saying is, and I've said this before, I think this is the first NFL superstar, at least that I can remember, and I'm young. So, I mean, I was born in 97. This is the first NFL superstar that I can remember that we are seeing in real time go from being a star in the league to just being somebody who's just doing the most craziest things outside the league.
Imploding
because of all the hits he has taken. And I see all these things. Congratulations to Mike Tomlin for dealing with Antonio Brown for 9 years. Whether it's Mike Tomlin's doing or not, like, has AB always been like this? Because we never really heard much about it, and this is why people are congratulating Mike Tomlin. But, like, if he hasn't always been like this and it just happened the last few seasons, I mean, that's a sign right there. But
he's always been flashy, and he's always been
right.
a little bit extra.
Yeah,
little,
but, like, in terms of just cussing out his
usually that's a wide receiver's MO is, you know, diva-ish.
Yeah, and you look at that, like, with cornerbacks, too, and they always say no matter what, like, they're the biggest talkers on the field, I believe, are cornerbacks and the wide receivers. Mm-hmm. That's all they do. So I have no problem with, like, the flashiness, but also posting on your Instagram story of you cussing out the mother of your children with your children right there and police right there, and it's just, like, and that's what I mean by has he always been like that?
Well, it was never like that on social media. Yes. I feel like now it's just like he has to stay in the news.
And it kind of started after that leaked conversation of Mike Tomlin in the locker room. I forgot what year that was. But remember
it was in
when
the playoffs? I think they beat the Chiefs, right?
Yeah. What was it? Remember? Like,
it was a Facebook Live.
Yes, that's what it was.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really think, and I'm not, and so right now he got out on a $110,000 bail. Mm-hmm. He's being charged for burglary and assault, two different charges, because burglary doesn't involve assault. He just took property, but then he assaulted a moving truck driver for moving stuff from his L.A. home all the way to Florida. It was going to be $4,000, and
he refused to pay.
Yeah, he refused to pay. Mm-hmm. And I did see that the max. So in a lot of states, there are sentence ranges. You have the least amount of sentencing to the max amount of sentencing. Then when with the arraignment and all these trials, that's when they determine if a judge really wanted to. I read this. If a judge really wanted to, AB could get life. There's absolutely no way.
I think he gets 3 to 4 years. Yeah. Maybe a year.
But I mean, from this assault, dude, it sounds like, I mean, it was more than just like a one punch or something like that.
Well, him and his trainer were supposedly the ones. His trainer got arrested on the spot. Mm-hmm. He went into the moving truck, started destroying furniture and stuff that wasn't Antonio Brown's. So I'm pretty sure that's where they got the burglary stuff. Mm-hmm. But AB was throwing rocks at the moving truck, cursing at him. I guess he hit him a few times.
And he was in a gated community, I believe, in Hollywood, Florida.
Yeah.
And the residents of that community are saying they're tired of it and they want him out to where.
I think
it's happening right now.
It could happen.
But, I mean, we are literally seeing an NFL star implode, and I do believe CTE is a cause of it. And right now, I think the judge said that he has to have alcohol and drug testing, and he's also going to get mental health help. So he is going to start getting help. If that changes anything, I don't know. I guess we'll have to see. Well, when we come back, we are going to talk more about
Scandals. Don't go anywhere, guys. You listen to The Rookies here on Fox Sports Radio Charlotte.
Hey, this is Jonathan Stewart, and you're listening to The Rookies on Fox Sports. Hey, this is Jonathan Stewart, and you're listening to The Rookies on Fox Sports Radio Charlotte.
Go get them, boys. The Rookies are back on Fox Sports Radio Charlotte.
And we're back here on Fox Sports Radio Charlotte. It's The Rookies on Saturday.
Is this a new one?
No, I've had this one. This is the same bed.
Gotcha.
But you're so zoned in on the board sometimes, I think you forget how good the music is.
He's had this one because it's his show and we're just featuring
it. No. It is Mackie's show. Welcome to the Mackie attack. Guys, we were talking Antonio Brown right before break. I don't know if there's anything else to say other than I think this man needs some serious help.
I think he's about to get it, too.
And mental health is really important. I think we're finding that out nowadays more than ever. And with the stuff coming out, technology, CTE, brain scans, all these types of things that can help be preventative, I'd love to see somebody step up and just say, look, Antonio, we're blocking you on Twitter, on every social media. And we're gonna get you some help.
And I liked his agent doing that, just saying I'm stepping away until you get yourself figured out. And I'm not he deserves to be punished for his actions. I mean, if you assault anybody, there has to be some repercussions.
Yeah.
But also you also can't expect to throw somebody in jail or in prison and then expect them to come right out with no help at all and just change. So sometimes that does work with somebody. I mean, there needs to be some help with mental health of people. And right now, hopefully, like I said, with all this stuff going on and with him posting bail and going to jail, they said he'll get alcohol and drug testing as well as mental health help and counseling. So
also took his passport away.
They did take his passport.
Can't travel.
He's a flight risk.
It's just really sad at this point. I think it was just kind of like a circus, and it still kind of is, but I think people really need to take a look at it.
Because he's a clown.
He is, yeah. But people really need to take a look at what's going on in his head. Mm-hmm. Football is a dangerous sport. You just saw Luke Kuechly retire. You can name off a couple other guys. Chris Borland, Patrick Willis, Rob Gronkowski. All these guys retired because they want to have quality of life after football. You see Antonio Brown, one of the best receivers of all time, potentially. And at 31 years old.
You can say that without saying potentially.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
At 31 years old. He's going insane, and we're seeing it's
he's
so public.
He's only 31?
Yeah.
Ooh.
And it's so public.
And he is doing it to himself with the social media. Do you think he'll allow doctors or scientists to study his brain right now? I really hope so.
I hope it doesn't come to after he passes away. Because, you know, the Junior Seau stuff is so sad. But when they scanned his brain afterwards, I mean, it's like you have the brain of a 90-something-year-old man.
Mm-hmm.
It causes dementia, depression. I mean, that's why a lot of these guys will commit suicide. They just can't take it. You've seen stuff with Jim McMahon, right? Mm-hmm. He has to wear sunglasses all the time because his head is constantly in pain.
Yeah.
It's just really sad to watch. I know these guys sign up for football. You know the risks. But nowadays, I feel like you've got more information. People are not going to play football like they used to.
Well, I was going to say, right now, I don't really know the answer to this yet, but I've seen this question circulate on social media. Would you let your kids play football?
No. No, I'd rather him play baseball and get paid more money.
Yeah, that's normally the argument with it.
Baseball or basketball or golf.
I can't. So I would want.
Here we go. Overlooking hockey again.
All right. In Charlotte, North Carolina, how many youth hockey teams are there?
There's a lot, actually.
There's a lot.
Yep.
I don't hear the marketing.
I used to play roller hockey in my cul-de-sac, so.
I don't hear any marketing for youth basketball or youth football.
Yeah, I know. That was a bad joke.
Yeah.
My kids probably won't play hockey. But with sports, I would let them play football, of course. But honestly, if I started seeing something to where it's just like, all right, you're starting to act a little different, or he's taking crazy big hits at such a young age, I'm like, it's not worth it. It really isn't.
I guess I'd like to give them the information and say, look, this is what could happen if you play football. But if you love football enough, I mean, people are willing to risk that in order to set their families up for future. Mm-hmm. I mean, generations.
I probably wouldn't let them play until at least, like, eighth grade. I'd probably not know.
And that's what they say is that later in high school is when you should even start tackling. And they do it in middle school. It's just detrimental. And I love football. I love football more than any sport in the world. But I feel like we're going to see a lot of changes in football in the next 10 years going forward with all this head injury stuff. Maybe not if Roger Goodell has anything to do with it.
My brother and I talked about it, and we were wondering. We said by 2050, I don't even know if there will be an NFL because it's so powerful. It owns a day of the week, but if
it owns more than a day,
yeah,
Monday too.
You know what I mean? Like it owns Monday night, but I'm talking about Sunday.
Yeah,
Sunday like this year.
It ain't for church. It's for football. Yeah,
I would go home from the show, and then I would watch football from 1 to 10:30 or whenever that late game ended. But with all the stuff coming out, if this becomes more common. With what AB, if more players start doing something like this, whether it's as publicized on social media or not, I mean, something will have to be done, right?
It got to.
Got to. So that's what I'm saying. Like, it's just how rapid will the change happen? Because the concussions are up from last year.
Yep.
There were like 240 concussions last year. Now there were 280 recorded ones this year. And these are all just recorded ones.
Yeah, these aren't even counting the ones that the players don't even mention to the training staff.
And that was the thing with Luke Kuechly retiring was he has three concussions that are documented.
Yeah.
But nobody knows how many.
No telling how many more he has. Just really sad with Antonio Brown, and I hope he gets the help that he needs. But bigger stories coming out in Major League Baseball. It's the offseason, and we're still talking about this Astros scandal. Of course, the Red Sox had something to do with it as well the year before. The latest news that came out just blows my mind.
What was it?
It's almost like the Office episode when Meredith is sleeping with a supplier, Bruce, and they get total and complete immunity. In this one meeting. And that's what they did to these Astros players. They said, hey, just be honest with us, and you guys won't get in trouble.
That Office episode is a good analogy.
It's a great and it's a great episode. You guys should watch it.
Yeah.
It's a great episode.
Holly Flax is just like, all right, just say what you want. Nobody's going to get in trouble.
He's like, you get total and complete immunity.
And then Meredith comes out.
And then
out.
Meredith said she's been sleeping with suppliers.
Are you ready to tag me in?
Tag team.
Okay. Boys, this is ridiculous.
Rob Manfred's a joke in my
This opinion. Is absolutely ridiculous. You know what they're saying? They're saying, listen, people are cheating. Listen, we know people are cheating. Listen, you cheated a little bit worse than everybody else. Here's a slap on the wrist. What are these players experiencing?
The team shouldn't even play next season. The Astros shouldn't be a team next season.
Carlos Beltran lost his job. Not enough. Alex Cora lost his job. Not enough.
Banned from baseball.
AJ Hinch lost his job.
Lifetime ban.
Not enough.
Lifetime ban. If you're going to ban Pete Rose for betting on his team to win.
That's so stupid. It's so stupid. How can you get caught? And there's so much evidence out there. The buzzer's being worn. Jose Altuve telling them not to rip off his jersey after that home run off Chapman in Game 6 of the 2017 ALCS. I mean, it's just all the trash can banging that started it all off.
And the memes are great.
The memes are terrific.
The memes are great.
But how can you just not punish them? Because they come out saying if they apologize and know that they're wrong, then They're just going to come out and do the same thing. I'm ready to see this next baseball season, how the just league reacts when they play him. I want automatic hits. I want them to just peg him on the shoulder and do something.
These aren't five-year-old kids that just didn't really know what they were doing and that their youth coach was like, do this, Billy. Like, these are 25 and older men.
It was led by Carlos Beltran.
The players should be just as much punished as the front office or the coaches. I agree with you, Connor. It's crazy. I don't know how they're just getting a slap on the wrist.
Lifetime ban. I think that's where it should start.
Well, what is it teaching anybody? It's not teaching anybody a lesson. What did you lose, $5 million?
Yeah, that's nothing.
Okay, that's what, a week's worth of revenue in Major League Baseball?
And four draft picks over 2 years. I'm sorry, dude.
Now A.J. Hinch is, whether cheating or not, he's one of the better coaches in the league.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. I think that the Houston Astros could have won the World Series without cheating, but I don't think that they would have beaten the Yankees that year.
Do you think they should strip the Astros and the Red Sox of their titles?
Absolutely. I mean, yeah.
I think they should. Are they going to do
it? And they're not going to. Yeah. It's already said and done that they're not going to. It's ridiculous.
And there's
going to
be no extra punishment, I'm sure, coming out. It's said and done.
There's not.
They ruin the integrity of the game. Lifetime ban. They don't get to play the game they love anymore. Cool, they still have money. Cool, they still have a World Series title.
And it's awful because Tuve is in his 20s. Alex Bregman's in his early
20s. These guys are all in their prime.
George Springer's in his early 20s. Carlos Correa's in his early. These guys are good at baseball. Guys are so good at baseball.
Didn't need to cheat. And I know that this has been going on, supposedly, for years. There was a story that Tony La Russa did this in the 80s with the Chicago White Sox.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically set up a light out in center field.
Yes.
And it blinked, and it would tell you if it was an off-speed or not. I mean, this is stuff that's been going on for 50, 60 years. There's stuff back in 1920 that suggested that they did this with buzzers, like the same type of thing. If they want to talk about integrity, and if it's just by the wayside, why aren't we letting these guys in the Hall of Fame like Roger Clemens, Barry Bonds, and Mark McGwire?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just open the floodgates at this point.
Well, even
you still got to hit the baseball.
Even with the steroids, that's an iffy topic with me. I haven't really thought much about it. But, I mean, you're not allowing Pete Rose in.
I think that's ridiculous.
The history of the game, or most hits in the history of the game for a player. I mean, yes, he was gambling, but he was gambling on his team. He wasn't giving out insider trading, was he?
He might have been.
He might have
been.
Martha Stewart.
But with Pete Rose, I mean, how can you not get into the Hall of Fame with that? To where you didn't really cheat. You just gambled. Not trying to say that.
Michael Jordan just took a year off from basketball and came back, and everything was cool.
Yeah.
I mean, and he was gambling. So.
Exactly.
Just saying, like,
no, but yeah,
just take some time off. And
nothing's
cool.
Gonna happen with this, and it's just showing that the MLB is showing, all right, if you cheat and you win a World Series, you get to keep the World Series, and you probably can't play or coach the next year. That's pretty much what they're showing, right? They're not doing anything.
I bet it's worth it for some of these players.
You're showing that it's just like y'all can get away with so
Jim
much.
Crane, he fired Hinch and the general manager as well. I can't think of his name right now for the life of me.
Do you think the owner had no idea this was going on?
There's no way the owner didn't have an
idea.
You
know what? I have a buddy that knows people in the organization. So
unnamed source.
Yeah, I have a source, and the kid straight up told me that he had no idea, and he was telling his buddy, who's a good friend of mine. So he, like, I mean, I don't know. I don't lie to you guys. I don't lie to my friends.
Yeah, right.
I don't understand. What was that?
I'm just happy I'm your friend.
You guys wouldn't make my top 8 on MySpace. I just want to let you know that.
But no, for real though. Like, I don't lie to you guys. So if I did something like that, I mean, I would have told you. You know what I mean?
And then I would have told on you.
Hey guys, I just cheated to win the 2016 World Series.
Snitches get stitches. Then Jessica Mendoza would have popped out from around the corner and sucker punched me in the face for telling on Connor because she doesn't like snitches.
I don't get it. I don't know.
No, I think bringing something like this public, going back to what you say about Jessica Mendoza, she didn't like how it was brought publicly.
Because she's a part of it.
Yes.
She's good friends with Carlos Beltran Cora as well.
It's stuff like this should be known. I mean, people had to be held accountable, but them being held accountable now is just apologizing and then saying, all right, guys, have fun next year. C'est la vie.
I will say that the only team that comes out of this looking better is the New York Mets, because I genuinely don't think they really had an idea that Carlos Beltran was behind this, and then as soon as it came out, they were like, all right, you got to go.
Well, Cora parted ways with the Red Sox too, which I love.
But they had to have. I mean, they had to have known that this was a thing. Cora's been their manager for a few years now.
One of you two boys, we're gonna get into Hall of Fame talks real quick, and then my rookie mistake has to do with the Hall of Fame anyway.
Oh, perfect.
One of you two boys in the last week or two told me that you were talking about Trevor Bauer and how he said that he'd rather face somebody who's doing steroids than somebody who knew a pitch was coming.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're not going to strip the titles from the Red Sox and the Astros, you got to let somebody like Barry Bonds in.
Yeah.
You got to let Roger Clemens in. Mm-hmm. McGuire's got to be there.
Is Andy Pettitte in the Hall of Fame?
Andy Pettitte's in. No.
He's not. Because he took steroids. And he just, the only difference is he came out and said, "Yeah, I took steroids. I'm really sorry, guys." And everybody's like, "That's all right, Andy. You're cool."
Even Alex Rodriguez. Alex Rodriguez is a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely right.
No, I agree with that take so much. If you don't do anything with the Astros, let the Reuters in. Is that what they're called? Reuters?
But
I like that name.
What's it bring to it, though?
I mean, but that's what I mean. You're,
I mean, so this, now this all these guys.
Sorry, go ahead. That's my fault.
No, you're good. Go ahead.
I was going to say, this is setting a precedent. Precedent for losing the integrity of the game.
Exactly.
Because, and I agree with you because I knew that's where you were going.
Well, I feel like they've already set that with this Astros ruling.
But that's what I mean. So now, if you let if nothing happens to the Houston Astros and you leave them up here and they're like, all right, slap on the wrist, don't worry, don't do it again. That's
don't
what that MLB is pretty much doing. And you let the people with steroids into where still, that's still an iffy topic with me. I'm not saying they should be like condemned, really. I mean, they shouldn't have done it, but they shouldn't be condemned to the abyss of baseball.
You still got to hit that baseball, though.
But exactly. But also, so you're going to allow them to cheat, but then if you're going to take steroids to cheat, you get banned from the Hall of Fame. I agree with you. You're setting a precedent for, all right, so we're not going to have any integrity. You just have to be on this side of the integrity than this one.
Right.
That's really what this is.
I think the only way they can fix this is to repunish the which we know is not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
But if they came back out and said, look, the teams are right.
Bozo the clown running the MLB.
That would require Manfred to say he was wrong in what he did. And we both know that, or we all know the commissioners have big egos. Let's just not beat around the bush here. They don't like to admit when they're wrong. They really don't like to. So
they're in such a position of power, too.
Yeah.
But no, that's what you said. This is very bad for the MLB because baseball is it's all about integrity. It's America's pastime.
It is America's pastime.
It's the love of the game. You play for the America. Love of the game.
It's like how America passes its time, right?
All right, Connor, rookie mistake.
Move on to rookie mistakes.
I would like to use that as my rookie mistake, but I'm not
you
going
can.
To. Do you guys want to go first?
No, I know what yours is going to be. I want to hear yours because you deserve
I'll go
it.
First. I'll go first. I don't care.
Wow. Don't
Burn Skern.
Let's do it. All right. So the Timberwolves.
The Burn Skern and Boogie.
You know how every team, right, has this broadcast crew, right?
And, that's normally what happens in sports.
Right. So it's not like ESPN is broadcasting this game. This is a local broadcast crew, and these Timberwolves announcers.
Can you say this on air?
Well, I'm going to.
Okay.
I'm not going to say what the word means because people already know.
Yeah.
But basically, last night, one of the Timberwolves announcers said that he came up with a new phrase, and he shortened the words shot chart into the word shart. Now, I think we all know what that means. I'm not going to say it on air.
And the funny thing was he came back to it.
Yeah.
It was like 2 minutes later, and he looked at his color commentator, and he said, so, how do you feel about that word I just made up? And then the guy was like, I'm pretty sure that's already in use, Dick.
It's already a phrase, and we're just going to leave it at that.
Yep.
And he said, well, I was in the dark on this one, guys. It's my bad. So, yes, sir, rookie mistake on your part. You can't just say that word. You just can't do it.
I'll do mine, then you can do yours, since yours is probably going to be the better one. So my rookie mistake goes out to Cleveland Browns running back Kareem Hunt. Back in the news, he was cited for speeding, and marijuana was found in the car.
Ooh.
If you want to increase your chances by 85% of not getting caught, don't drive with marijuana in the car.
It does smell.
In all my criminal justice classes, every criminal justice professor I had was, no matter what y'all do, just don't drive with drugs. You shouldn't do drugs, but don't drive with drugs.
And get someone else to drive your drugs for you.
Okay, Pablo. But rookie mistake to Kareem Hunt.
All right, boys. I'm going to keep it in the same subject that we have been going on all day. I'm talking about clowns. We're sitting there talking about Antonio Brown. We're sitting here talking about Rob Manfred.
He's a clown.
We're talking about the Astros organization. All I see is a little circus. I feel like 150 dudes are about to pack out of this little punch buggy rolling down the street. And do you know who's going to headline this little car with all them clowns in it?
Is it the guy The Hall of Fame voting?
It is the single man that did not vote Derek Jeter into the Hall of Fame.
I just don't think it's that big a deal.
What? Are you serious?
The only unanimous Hall of Fame has ever been is Mariano Rivera.
Yeah, and the second one should have been Derek Jeter.
Well, the second one should have been Ken Griffey Jr.
It's Derek Jeter.
It should have been Derek Jeter.
Well, I think Ken Griffey Jr. is better player than Derek Jeter. I'm just going to say it right now. Derek Jeter is a first ballot Hall of Famer. Don't get me wrong. But I do not think it's that ridiculous that one person didn't vote for him. I thought more people weren't going to vote for him on the first ballot.
Bernie's losing this situation. I agree with you. I want to hear your take. Bernie, you lost. Sorry.
No.
Do you know what Derek Jeter has done on and off that field? Mr. Clutch, bro. Anytime a big moment is coming on in the game, you want Derek Jeter at that plate.
Dude, how much money have the Yankees put in teams that Derek Jeter played on? Like, Derek Jeter has had the luxury of playing on so many money-built teams. And I get it. It's his name. In all honesty, Derek Jeter's name. He's terrible defensively. Let's talk about it.
What?
Terrible defensively. Five gold gloves because of his name. Ridiculous. Ken Griffey Jr. is easily a better baseball player. But
are we talking about drugs? Because I want whatever Bernie's taking.
Derek Jeter is a first ballot Hall of Famer. All I'm saying is I don't think it's that ridiculous
terrible.
For one person
to
vote for
him. Terrible defensively the first three games of his career. Yeah, early in 96 and 97.
Look
maybe
at the numbers,
the best
dude.
Defensively.
The numbers, defensively, he's not good. Offensively, he's one of the best shortstops
dude,
of all
after,
time.
After his first 3 years of his career, he was great defensively. Dude, Jeter took 100 ground balls a day.
A thousand ground balls a day. I just think Ken Griffey Jr.
That dude
is a better
was
player.
The first guy out of the field, and he was the last one leaving the field. He is the man that you want serving your team on and off the field. They call him the captain for
that
a
doesn't,
reason.
That doesn't earn you 100% of the votes because of the guy you
listen,
are.
No, it doesn't, but I'm going back to the stats now. Mr. November, all of these clutch plays that he did. You remember the flip to get Giambi out of home plate in the early 2000s?
I do remember that.
You remember the World Series in 2000?
I do.
You remember the World Series in 2009?
I will say this.
99?
I think he would have been a unanimous Hall of Famer if Mark Wahlberg did not shoot him in the tunnel of the dugout and the other guys.
Wow.
Remember that movie?
Wow, thanks for that one, Mackie.
No, but I agree with you. Like I said, Bernie lost. He lost.
I did not lose, no, guys.
Listen, no. Ken Griffey Jr. is a great ball player, and I'm not saying Griffey should never have been unanimous, but what I'm saying is that the last player to do it was Mo last year. The next player to have should have done it is Jeter this year. And that being said, Bernie, you are wrong. There is no other exception to this story. This is a one-way street, and you are going the wrong way down it, bro.
All right, well, we can agree to disagree, Connor. You guys are listening to The Rookies here on Fox Sports Radio Charlotte. You can catch us tomorrow. We're going to talk a ton of stuff, and we've got Isaiah
Harris
coming in, tight end for UNC Charlotte 49ers. So we'll see you guys tomorrow. Have a great day.